Morning, church. It's been a while since I've been here. So my life in 30 seconds. So I grew up in this church, farm out of town, and thought I was going to be a farmer and be in this church my whole life. But here I'm back as a visiting preacher. So moved to Perth to become a physio, then ended up at Bible College, pastor at East Fremantle Baptist Church, and now senior pastor at Albany Baptist Church. And so we're back for one Sunday. And so my three boys, Austin, Zach and Mark are here. Holly's in Wagen this morning. But good to be with you. And I texted Jesse on Monday morning and said, I'm down for a wedding, do you want me to preach? And he said, yes please. So glad to be with you. And I think I'm back in a month's time to preach again. So looking forward to that. Let me pray and then we're going to be looking at Psalm 121 together. Father, it's good to sit together. It's good to speak to you. It's good to hear from you. It's good to be together, particularly when hard things happen. And we've heard some hard news today. Lord, we pray that we'll be a comfort to one another. And Lord, we pray that your word would minister to us no matter where we're at today. We pray that you would do a work in us. Build us up. Fix our eyes on you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So a typical Friday afternoon with the kids being young was that come home from work, there'd be quality time. So Holly would take a kid and she would go to a cafe or McDonald's and do a cuppa and play cards or Uno or something. One of the grandparents would take a second kid to a cafe or McDonald's and play cards or Uno or something. And I would get the third child and I would say, adventure time, let's go. So this particular day, I had Zach, my middle son, and I said, we are going to climb Castle Rock. Anyone climbed Castle Rock? So we were told it was 3:35, it was after school, and the footy was starting at 6:10, and that's when dinner was going to be served, and very clearly, that is when we needed to be back. So we drove to Castle Rock, we ignored the sign that said 2-hour return trip, we started bolting up the hill, which was fine for the first half a kilometre, but then the 11-year-old legs just weren't so good anymore, the stamina was going, and I had to coax the boy up the hill. Now, things have very much changed now, they wait for me on every corner when I'm climbing mountains with them, but back then we kind of pushed him up the hill, over the tree that had fallen down, through the mud, and you know when you get to Castle Rock, you get to the top, you climb up over the boulders, and then you go up that 7-metre vertical ladder, and if you're scared of heights like one of the two of us were, then one of them's having a great time on the top of the world and the other's holding on to the frames. And so I said, we've got to get down. Quick, son. We've got to get home. We've only got now 40 minutes, 50 minutes to get down and get home for tea. So we thought, let's run it. So running down Castle Rock Mountain, couple of nearly twisted ankles, and then Zach stacks it. Okay, a proper fall on a tree root, running full pace downhill, sliding on his face. Good dad picks him up, checks him over. You'll be right, son. Let's go. So bolt home, get into the house 2 minutes before the footy starts. All is well with the world. Very good. Now we're looking at a psalm of ascent. Now if you don't know the psalms of ascent, they're 15 psalms between Psalm 120 and Psalm 134. And they're the songs that the pilgrims used to sing when they went from their homes up to Jerusalem for the festivals 3 times a year. So as family groups, they would go from their homes, which might be far, far from Jerusalem. And as they were coming towards Jerusalem, they would sing these 15 psalms as songs, as pilgrims, which remind them that they started a long, long way away from God, far from Him. And as the psalms go, they get closer and closer until eventually they're with God for all eternity, actually, if you read the psalms. They're coming home to be with God, and they're doing that in community. And it very much reminds us of our Christian journey too, because for pretty much all of us, we start at the same place, far, far, far from God. And then having come to faith in the Lord Jesus who died in our place for our sins, we're on a journey home. And we're pilgrims on a journey, and there's many dangers on this journey. And the songs talk about those dangers and a God who's with us on the way. And eventually we'll go home to be with God for all time. And that's what these songs are all about. But for the pilgrim walking up to Jerusalem, many dangers. They've got money in their pocket. There's looters. There's wild animals. There's robbers. There's many dangers to go on their way. And these psalms, particularly this psalm that's before us today, Psalm 121, is all about God keeping us safe on that journey. God being with us as we go. So we're going to read Psalm 121 together. Chloe, if we've got that. So I'm going to read the white bits and you're going to read the red bits, okay? Can you see it? You've probably got it memorized. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. So it's going to be a joy to look at this psalm together. This is my grandpop's favourite psalm, and I preached from this at his funeral. But it's a great psalm that will draw our eyes to God. And so it starts with a question, and there's sort of four parts to this. Each are two verses long, the question and an answer, and then the next three parts are why the answer is true. And so we start there with the question. So as you drive to Albany, which is a good place to visit if you want to come down, then you get to Cranbrook, you turn left and you start going south and you'll notice on your left the mountains. They kind of capture your eyes, don't they, as you drive, and you kind of keep looking at them there, and they're beautiful with the crops and the canola there. And so same with the pilgrim in Israel. As they walk to Jerusalem, if you've been to Israel, it's a mountainous place. There's a big mountain to the north, there's mountains to the east and to the west, and as you walk the road, you would see the mountains. And as the pilgrim's looking at the mountains, they ask the question, where does my help come from? Now, why would the looking at the mountains cause them to ask that question? Well, perhaps because the mountains are dark and mysterious. It's where robbers lurk and dangers are. And they're thinking as they look at the mountains, maybe trouble will come our way from the mountains. So where does my help come from? Or maybe they're thinking the opposite. Maybe they're thinking, as I'm walking on the road, if a robber or a lion comes, there's at least the mountains that I can run to and be safe. But most likely it's a third option, because what is on top of those mountains? Well, the mountains are the high points close to heaven. It's where the religious stuff happens. It's where the idol worship and the practices, it's where the Baal and the Asherah, the idols are. And so very much the pilgrim looks to the mountains and asks a very real question. They're heading towards the temple and to God, and they're looking at the idols and they're saying, where does my help come from? Who am I going to trust today to help me? God or these things in my world? And the response, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'm going to trust the one who made those mountains. The one who made the mountains is my God, and he's the one I'm going to look at. Now, when you have a young child and they're particularly anxious, they see a stranger or something happens, what do? Well, they run to mum or their dad, and they grab them by the leg and they hold their hand tight. Why do they do that? Because mum and dad are so big. They're so powerful. They can protect you. And so suddenly we're talking about a God who is so big and so powerful and can help you. The God who makes the heavens and the earth. And immediately we're asked the question of, what are we trusting in our life? Are we trusting in the God who made the mountains, or are we trusting in the things in our lives, in our world, our finances, our horoscopes, our medical system, our insurances? What are we putting our trust on each day? Are we gazing to the God who made the mountains, or to the things around us. Now, the psalm really wants to point out, why would you trust in this God? So for three reasons, the psalm gives us to turn your eyes and put your trust in this God, the sure and safe one. And the first reason is given in verses 3 and 4, because it says you can trust in this God because he does not sleep. He does not slumber. He's not like Granddad. Now, I remember on the farm, you know, spending a morning cutting chaff, which is a cursed job, and then you'd come in at lunchtime and we'd have lunch and we'd sit and eat, but the cricket would be on. So the TV would get turned on and naturally everyone would be drawn to just watch a few overs of the cricket after lunch before we go back to work. Now, Dad blamed the comfortable chairs. It could have been the hard work in the morning, but first Grandpa would fall asleep, then Dad, then Uncle Vinny, and I'd be left watching the cricket. We know it wasn't the cricket that put him to sleep. So we're there and they're sleeping away as I'm enjoying the cricket. We don't have a God who spends 8 hours a night in sleep. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. Verse 3 and 4, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You remember when Elijah had that fire off with the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel, and you know, they won the toss, they got to bat first, and they were calling out to God for fire from heaven, and Elijah starts taunting them because there's no fire and says, maybe your God's asleep, maybe you need to wake him up. That is not our God. Our God never sleeps. So the first reason. The second reason is that God is always watching. He's always watching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, dads, when you take your kid to the park, down to the all-age playground, they do their best handstand ever. And they come over and they say, Dad, did you see my handstand? And unfortunately, you're on your phone or reading the paper or watching the game of footy across the road, distracted. But God never gets distracted. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. God watches over us in the dangers of life during the daytime and the nighttime. Never distracted, never taking his eyes off us. 24/7. He's big, he's powerful, he made the mountains, he never sleeps. And all day, every day, all night, even as you sleep, God watches over us. Well, finally, we see that God doesn't forget. God just doesn't have things that slip his mind, like Mum when she burns the tea or Dad when he forgot to come to that assembly. God's not like that. He doesn't just forget about stuff. Verse 7 and 8, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. So whether you're leaving home, whether you're coming back to home, God will watch over you. Whether you're 8 or whether you're 80, God will watch over you. He won't be distracted. And that last line is the best. It says, both now and forevermore. Right now, God watches over us. And now as well. And every now, forevermore into the future. Words that we can trust in. Words that we can take comfort from. That God's watching us, he's protecting us, he's keeping us from harm at every moment. Well, are you convinced? Does the psalm convince you that the right place to place your eyes and your trust is on God? The one that doesn't sleep, doesn't get distracted, is always watching day and night. The powerful one who made the mountains. It's worth pausing to ask a question about that. Because does that fit with our experience? The psalm says that no harm will come to us, that he will not be distracted, that our foot will not even slip. But as you think about your life and you think about the bones that you've broken. You think about Zach as he trips going down a hill, he slides on his face. You think about the illnesses that you've got, the people who have died, the struggles you've had. Is this true? Is God actually watching over us 24/7 every day of the week? And it's a really important question for us to ask, because if we start thinking that bad stuff doesn't happen to Christians, we'll realise that we have doubts. That means maybe if bad stuff happens to me and my family, then maybe I'm not a believer. Maybe I'm not a Christian. If Christians are meant to be protected from these things. So it's very important for us to realise that us Christians breathe the same air. We drive on the same roads. We breathe in the same COVID bugs and everything else as everyone in our world. You might have heard of helicopter parenting, where parents kind of run around and make sure that their kids are safe. I kind of prefer the term curling parenting. You know that Winter Olympics sport where they chuck that big thing down the ice and there's two of them that are kind of brushing their brooms, trying to remove every obstacle from the path of the kids so that they've never faced a tough time. Friends, our God is not a curling God. He's not a helicopter God. He allows us to go through hard times. He allows us to suffer and even die. But he is with us on the way. Always watching, always with us. Because his objective isn't to get us through life, never having had a disease or breaking a bone or never having anyone near us die of cancer. He wants to get us home. He wants to get us home. To be with him for all eternity. Those who have put their trust in him, he will watch over us all of the way home, caring for us, overseeing us, even when bad things happen. Romans 8 says it best when it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any other powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can anything separate us from that God? No. Nothing. He's the right place to put your trust. He's the right place to fix your eyes. He's the right one to entrust your entire life to him. As we prepare ourselves on our journey as pilgrims headed home, trusting in him. Well, I've got three questions to ask you and then a final story to kind of bring this home. So the first question is, who are you trusting? Where is your help coming from? Is it the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth? Are you trusting in your own resources, your own intellect, your own strength, your own good luck? What are you trusting? And secondly, how is that reflected in the way that you pray? Is God the first place you go in trouble? Or only when everything else fails to work? Where do you go? And thirdly, is that reflected in your stress, your anxiety, and your worry? Because as pilgrims on a journey headed home with a God who oversees every step, we can walk through life without the stress and worry because we place it into the hands of our God who watches over us. Now, a few years ago, we went to Exmouth for a family holiday, and we took the old Falcon up there, and it wasn't the greatest holiday, to be fair. It was like 40 degrees every day. We were in a tent, and there's nowhere to hide in a tent when it's 40 degrees, and we spent one day just sitting in the car with the air conditioning on. There's nowhere else to go. It was very uncomfortable. Anyway, we were on the way home. We were going to go to Shark Bay. Our youngest son hadn't seen the dolphins there, so we thought we'll go there. Pretty uneventful first sort of 4 or 5 hours. Carnarvon and heading south. As we're going, we did comment that the road seemed awfully bumpy, and we wondered whether the excessive heat had kind of caused the road to warp a little bit. But then what we were wondering became quite obvious for us when we heard this banging sound and one of the tires blew. And we got out there and there's a big bulge in the tire and there's this loop rubber flapping. And so thankfully the spare was in good nick, so we swapped it out and we came down to the overlander and turned in that 129 kilometres to Denham. And we were thinking, you know, it's kind of nice having the reassurance of a spare tyre, but, you know, we don't have that at the moment. But that's okay, we've driven thousands of kilometres, never had a flat tyre until today. We'll be right. What could go wrong? 50 k's down the road, bang, the second tyre goes totally flat, and we sit there going, what are we going to do now? There's still 80 k's to go. Three boys are sitting in the dust on the side of the road playing on iPhones and iPads without a worry in the world. But us parents are thinking, what can we do? How are we going to get there? And so eventually we realise actually the first tyre does hold air, even if it's got a bump and a loose bit on it. And so we put that back on, and we could go a maximum of 40 kilometres an hour. And so every bit was like, there was bump, bump, whack, bump, bump, whack, bump, bump, whack. And so as we were going along, we were kind of, every 5Ks we'd cheer when we saw the sign that we were just a little bit closer. It was getting dark and we were thinking, what happens if that tyre actually pops? Because, I mean, I could catch a lift into Shark Bay and then try and work out, but I didn't really want to leave my family in the dark, and I thought I could send Holly, but I didn't really want to send her with a stranger. And we realised actually it's not a bad place to be in life with no backup plan other than God. It's not a bad place to be, that your only backup plan is to trust in God. And so we prayed many times that God would keep us safe in our journey. And interestingly, we kind of bumped along into the dark and we saw a sign that said Nanga or something or other resort, and we're like, we are staying here tonight. And so we got in there and they took us in the next day and sorted out our tyre. But it's an interesting journey through life, isn't it, to think about that. The fact that God watches over us 24/7, it's Him that we trust, and as Christians we don't actually have another backup plan. Our only plan is to walk through life with our eyes fixed on God. No other plan. We trust in Him. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Well, I'll give you a moment to sit before God now in prayer. Again, to throw yourself onto Him, the loving God who cares for you, and then I'll pray for us. Father, we needed to hear these words today from you, that you are a great God who watches over us. You love us deeply. You're incredibly powerful. There's nothing you can't do. You never sleep. You're never distracted. You never forget. And we're your children on our way home. And we thank you that you look after us. And Father, we pray that you'd forgive us for looking to all other places as our plan and our confidence, and help us to look to you. Father, I particularly pray for this church at this time with the sad news that they've heard today, and pray that you would be their comfort and their help through these coming days and months ahead. I particularly pray that you'd help Jesse as he pastors this church and pastors his family, give him the strength he needs. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks a lot.